Good afternoon. It is now 1 p.m. My name is Miguel Bustos, and this is the regular meeting for the Commission on Community Investment and Infrastructure, the successor agency commission to the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency, for Tuesday, May 7th, 2019. Welcome, members of the public, both listening, seeing, and who are present. Madam Secretary, please call the first item.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. The first order of business is item one, roll call. Commission members, please respond when I call your name. Commissioner Rosales? Here. Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Vice Chair Bustos?
Here.
All members of the commission are present. The next order of business is item two, announcements. A, the next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on May 21st, 2019 at 1 p.m. at City Hall Room 416. B, announcement of prohibition of sound-producing electronic devices during the meeting. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. Please be advised that the chair may order the removal from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing of or use of a cell phone, pager, or other similar sound-producing electronic device. C, announcement of time allotment for public comments. Please be advised a member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make pertinent public comments on each agenda item, unless the commission adopts a shorter period on any item. It is strongly recommended that members of the public who wish to address the commission fill out a speaker card and submit the completed card to the commission secretary. The next order of business is item three, report on actions taken at a previous closed session meeting, if any. There are no reportable actions. The next order of business is item four, matters of unfinished business. There are no matters of unfinished business. The next order of business is item five, matters of new business consisting of consent and regular agenda. First, a consent agenda. Item 5A, approval of minutes from April 2nd, 2019. Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Secretary, do we have any speaker cards for this item?
No speaker cards.
Right. Is there anybody wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment and turn to my fellow commissioners for any questions or comments, or if there's a motion.
I move that the agenda be accepted. The minutes, I'm sorry. I second.
Okay. Madam Secretary, please take roll.
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Rosales?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Yes. Vice Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Mr. Vice Chair, the vote is 3 ayes.
Great, thank you. Motion carries. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is the regular agenda. Item 5B, electing the chair and vice chair under Section 27 of the successor agency bylaws. Discussion and action. Mr. Vice Chair.
Fellow commissioners, we have before us the election of chair and vice chair for this commission. First, we will elect the chair. Do I have any nominations for the position of chair? Commissioner Rosales?
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair, I would like to nominate Miguel Bustos as our chair.
I second that.
Okay, thank you. I'll accept the nomination as chair. Nominations for the office of chair is now closed. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on this particular item of the nomination of the chair? Seeing none. And Mr. James?
Oscar James, Native resident of Baby Hunters Point. We've always had good chairpersons on this committee, but I'm glad you're nominated as being the chair, and you'll do a terrific job because you are concern about what happens in our communities. Thank you very much and wish you all the luck.
Thank you, Mr. James. No one else? I will close public comment. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Commission members, please announce your vote for chair when I call your name. Commissioner Rosales?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 3 ayes.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. So now we need to elect the vice chair. Do I have any nominations for vice chair?
Yes. I would like to nominate Commissioner Rosales.
I would second that.
I accept the nomination. Thank you.
Great. So I'll close nominations for the vice chair role. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on or comment on this nomination for vice chair? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, please call roll of vice chair.
Commission members, please announce your vote for vice chair when I call your name. Commissioner Rosales?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Absolutely, yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 3 ayes.
Thank you. Congratulations, Vice Chair Rosales.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is agenda item 5C, conditionally approving the schematic design of a mixed-use project at Candlestick Point North Block 11A, which consists of 422 residential units, including 21 below market rate units, and approximately 14,191 square feet of neighborhood retail and services space, approving variance findings for development standards in the Candlestick Point design for development concerning 1, exception to maximum building height, 2, total blank wall limits, and 3, non-habitable projection dimensions, and adopting environmental findings pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Project Area, Discussion and Action, Resolution Number 10-2019. Madam Director.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Through the chair, we're excited to have this item before you. It's approval of a schematic design, the tower in Candlestick Point, the first tower that will be before you. It would yield 422 units of residential. It's mixed use with some retail, community space, etc. So we're excited because this really starts to shape the community in Candlestick. With that, I'll turn over to Kashika McKinney to present on this item. And I know, Kashika, we have the development team here as well. So,
Good afternoon, Chair Bustos, members of the commission, Director Sese. My name is Kashika McKinney. I'm an assistant project manager in the Hunters Point Shipyard and Candlestick project area. And today I will be doing the presentation for the schematic design for Candlestick Point North, Block 11A. And I'll quickly review the agenda. The commission action will be what we're requesting today for you to act on. And then we'll go through the project description, the BMR description. The design team will also give a presentation. I'll briefly discuss the community benefits associated with the project and the conditions of approval and next steps. In considering this project, there are a few considerations in the commission actions, and some of those are variances or exceptions to the Candlestick Point design for development standards, or what we call the D4D. And those include the maximum building height, the blank wall limits, and a non-habitable projection dimension, in addition to approving the schematic design. Candlestick Point is part of the Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Project Area. Candlestick Point is planned to include residential, retail, office space, and community facilities. It also includes new parks and open spaces and will be served by new transit lines and infrastructure. In this map, includes and identifies the blocks in Candlestick that have been approved by this commission to date, as well as portions of the project that will be coming before the commission for future approval. To date, this commission has approved schematic designs for blocks 2A, 9A, block 8A, where the International African Market will be located, Block 6A along Harney Way, and an OCII 100% affordable blocks at 10A and 11A. CPO 3, where Block 11A is located on Ingerson was approved for design and is seeking approval for design and is located next to Blocks 2A and 10A North, an OCII 100% affordable housing development. And you'll see on this map that Block 11A is located just to the right of Block 10A, the 100% affordable housing site. This project is a mixed income home ownership project consisting of 422 residential units, 21 of which are below market rate, and dispersed throughout the first 21 floors of the podium and tower. All the project amenities will be shared by all the residents, and the project will also have 4,000 square feet of community facility space on the ground floor. This is the proposed mix for the project for AMI information for the BMR units at 80, 90, 100, and 120%. And this is just a brief view of the unit distribution for the first 21 floors. And now that I've given an introduction of Block 11A, I'm going to turn it over to the design team to give you a specific and detailed look and information about the design of Block 11A. And I'll be back to discuss more of the other benefits associated with the project.
Members of the commission, my name is Steve Sutton. I'm with Five Point, and I want to first thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce my design team. I had the honor and pleasure to present building 6, 8, and 9 with you, as well as work on block 2, and it's a real honor to be able to bring the tower forward now and kind of complete CPO 3 and CPO 4 for the residential section. I'm going to turn it over to Brendan Dunningham of HKS, the lead architect on it, and he will walk you through the design. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Brendan Dunnigan with HKS Architects. It's a pleasure to be before you, commissioners, and thank you for your time. And we're really excited to be here today and present the project. So this is the first tower in Candlestick. It is going to be the new gateway into the city from the south, and we take that responsibility very seriously. And we've had a number of meetings with OCI, the successor agency, and with the community. And this design today represents a lot of work, of which I need to represent the number of people that are part of this project. And on this slide, you can see the names of the companies involved, and those folks have been asked to be here today. I'd like our team members actually stand up and be recognized for the work that they've done. These are the structural engineers, the landscape architects, and my design team, project manager over there, Phil Heineman, you know Lee, our MEP, Todd C., and also Yaku, he was our associate architect. We're super excited to have them here. The word architect is singular, but this project is the work of a lot of folks. So thank you. Thank you, team. All right, on the next slide, this is an overview of the site, and just to understand and what is going on around the site, this slide shows how along Harney Way, the BRT and the bike lane will be occupying the space between the building and the adjacent Wedge Park. Across, just below our site is the Film Arts Center in the CPO2 section. And then this is also noting where the sun angles are. The yellow indicates the way the pattern of the sun will be going around the site. North is to the front of the page. To the south is Ingerson. To the left is M Street. And then there is the mid-block passage, which is a pedestrian-only mid-block. These are a series of diagrams. The first diagram, which we began working on about 2 years ago, was to understand what was the zoning of the design for development and how could we stay within that zoning and comply with it, yet create the kind of spaces that we were hoping to create. So this first slide is about that zoning envelope. Then we get into the massing. The massing is limited, the floor plate, to 12,000 square feet. So that led to the third version of this massing, which is the sculpting of that massing. We wanted to set back the tower and also create separate planes within the podium of this building. Also at the ground floor, the retail is held back and the upper floors are held back, thereby creating even more sculpting of the massing. And then lastly, this diagram shows these accents. And these are the terraces. There is a terrace at the lower section. This is the pedestrian terrace. And then there is the sky terrace at the top, further accentuating and calling more architectural movement to the building. This is a daytime view of the tower. And you're looking to the north at the main view of the project. As one would enter the side of Candlestick, you'll be coming down Harney, and this would be that view. So we wanted to really understand what that view looked like. So in this presentation, we're going to be stepping around the tower at four different views from the four corners of the project, looking at both the tower and the podium in context. We'll then come back to pedestrian views, the lower sections of the building, what we call the podium. And we'll get into some of the materials and how we've relegated and articulated that facade. So this is looking to the west, and you're getting a view along the angle of Harney Way, and then you're seeing the mid-block break. And here you can really get a sense of how the tower has been sculpted, both at the top with the sky terrace and at the very top and back. That is a screening element, which is there for two reasons. Number one, its first important function is functional. There is mechanical equipment up there which needs to be ventilated. It's cooling equipment. There is also equipment used to service the facade of the building, building access equipment. So, but that element also serves as an architectural element, thereby reducing the size and the massing of that tower at the back. So this is, it works to our benefit to take what was a functional element yet create some sculpting opportunity at the top of the building. And as we go back around to the north side of the, and look back to the south, we're moving in a counterclockwise fashion. We're looking back at the corner of the mid-block break and M Street. And here you can get a sense of how that tower top is reduced in its massing and how that screening element really helps to break down the tower at the top, defining the base, the middle, and the top. Again, we take another view of the tower and the podium, and this is looking down Ingerson. You're getting a good sense of the scale of the base versus the tower. Now we're starting to get down to a more pedestrian level. And this is where we spent most of our time. We really wanted to understand what is in a successful neighborhood that we could translate to this project. So looking at streets like Chestnut or Union, or even in my neighborhood, I live in the Richmond, the inner Richmond, and walking Clement Street, the rhythm of the retail is not uniform. That is the richness of our neighborhoods. So breaking up this facade into various components was very important to us. So as you can read from left to right, we have the elements which define are defined in white. Below that is intended to be a restaurant, and then a color that harkens back to the tower color. The center section, that is located just above where the community center is envisioned, and then another retail spot, and then the pedestrian terrace, the podium terrace, defines the entry and the lobby. And here you can see where the lobby is accentuated by this component. It becomes not only a terrace for residents, but also really calls out the entry of this building and celebrates the opportunity that one will experience walking into the lobby of our building. This is looking back down Ingerson, and here you get a closer view of the window wall system that's coming down from the tower. So we allow that material to get closer to the pedestrian realm, but also picking up on what will be more human scale are these various canopies that are different colors, different heights, creating this variety along this pedestrian experience. And then we move along again at the pedestrian realm. This is looking back along Harney Way at a elevation perspective. Here we have three major elements. We have, again, the terrace, which defines the entry to the lobby, the tower, and then the podium section. And we further took architectural license with a stair tower, which breaks up that facade. And we're really excited about the accent color and what we're doing to bring that down to the ground level. And if we move to the next image, this is probably one of our most our favorite images, really dramatic with that. If you move from the top down, it's the canopy of the roof, the element of the stair that brings down the color, our podium section, and then you can see how that color shows itself along the mid-block break at various elements along the elevation of the mid-block break. This is now looking at the mid-block break. This is all these units, and also back on Harney, open up at the ground level. There is no retail along that section. And this turns around to the neighborhood lobby. We really wanted to have a lobby that was less public and more neighborhood serving. So this is really a fantastic lobby. It's smaller in scale and is right next to the pedestrian-only mid-block break. We're really excited about how M Street worked out. And in the next elevation, down the perspective, you can get a sense of some of the challenges that we were given on M Street. This is the only street where we can bring in utilities into the building that service the building. Electrical, water, gas, and the parking. So at the base of the building where you're seeing this varied facade, you can see the center section that is the driveway, and then this pattern facade at the ground level. Behind that are electrical transformers, meters, all the things that make this building work. And again, this M Street, we're really happy and success story, turning this into something that was a very much a feature, and again, neighborhood serving, smaller scale lobby. And this is a straight on view, again, capturing some of that same articulation, the elements that come from Harney and along the mid-block break are echoed here, but with a different rhythm too, architecturally. And then to move to the tower and the elements that help define this tower top. We talked about the mechanical screen at the back. We also, on the right side of this tower, as you see it stepping down, is a series of sunshading elements. This helps further define, articulate, and slenderize the tower itself. And then the punctuation, the real architectural statement, is that sky terrace. That is the element that really sets our building apart from looking at its south view. This is a night image, as all buildings do and all people do. We live in a world of nighttime half our life. So we really want to understand what the top of this building would look like and how it could be a beacon with its lights at night arriving from the city, from the south, and how this building would announce itself, especially being the first tower out of Candlestick. So this is an idea of some lighting elements at the top of the building. And again, how the terraces also are lit. We brought a material board. It's over here against the wall. If you care to come up and kick the tires of some of the materials, it is there. This elevation is showing where those materials are located. So we've called those all out in this image. And then this next image is really what we're all hoping for, is this exciting pedestrian active zone along Ingerson. And this is looking down Ingerson towards the bay with block 11A on the left, a future tower that's in the red color, and then ultimately the Fine Arts Cinema on the right. So active street and a wonderful new neighborhood, reflecting the wonderful neighborhoods of San Francisco. That concludes my presentation. Hopefully I've covered all the things that one might have questions about, but certainly here to answer any questions. But actually, I'll let, because she could take it over.
And as I mentioned, there are several community benefits associated with this project. We've already discussed the below market rate units, of which there are 21. The 4,000 square feet of community facility space that is located on the ground floor. And as with the other projects that have been approved in Candlestick Point, there will be a 0.5% contribution of the sale of each market rate unit to the community benefits fund. And there's also the small business and workforce policy, which is 50% of contracts and 50% of the construction hours associated with the projects will go to SBEs or LBEs and to San Francisco local workers. And just a bit more information about that policy, the small business and local workforce. The 11A team has worked really hard to meet OCII's objectives through its professional services team selection, achieving an SBE participation rate of 45.1%, with 45.5% of those firms being minority-owned firms and 1.8% being women-owned firms. And as a standard with these types of approvals, there are a few design conditions with which the developer will continue to refine or identify in the design development phase of the project. And these include compliance with the wind mitigation measures, blank walls, materials and colors, and further study of the exterior details and community facility space location. And for this project, the developer has also committed to following the marketing and occupancy preferences for the project, including early outreach and an emphasis on certificate of preference holders. Now I'd like to recap the request for the variances, beginning with the tower screening height. And this variance request is to increase the tower screening height to accommodate the mechanical and roof-mounted equipment. And it would be an increase from 320 feet to to 350 feet. Next is the variance request to allow for an exception to the blank wall restriction. Currently, the D4D allows for a maximum of 20% of the total facade of blank walls. In this case, the building is subject to other design restrictions on three other sides of the building. These include a BRT, or bus rapid transit line, along Harney Street, the requirement for a pedestrian retail along Ingerson Avenue, and the requirement for active uses of a pedestrian nature along the mid-block break. And compliance with these uses and design requirements have created the need to locate other project necessities on M Street and the need for an increase in the blank wall allowance. And the final variance request for the non-habitable projection, I've read that 100 times, but saying it is so much more difficult, consists of a request to increase the length of two balconies and a canopy that will protrude approximately 10 feet from the building face. And this variance is needed to mitigate and avoid potential hazardous wind conditions within the project area. The 11A team presented the schematic design at three CAC meetings, one joint PDNF and housing subcommittee meeting in April of 2018, a subcommittee meeting for the housing in February of 2019, and then to the full CAC meeting in April of 2019. And the six CAC members present at the full CAC meeting unanimously recommended that the commission conditionally approve the schematic design as presented. OCII staff will continue to update the CAC as the project progresses. And as a review of the commission actions being requested today, the following are for your consideration. Authorizing an exception to the design for development standards for tower screening height to increase the maximum height limit on CPN 11A from 320 to 350 feet. Authorizing an exception to the design for development standards for blank wall restrictions to increase the blank wall limit from 20% of the total facade length to approximately 34% to accommodate the M Street frontage. Authorizing an exception to the design for development standards for non-habitable projection limits of 15 feet in length and 3 feet over the property line to allow two balconies and a canopy that protrude approximately 10 feet from the building face, as well as conditionally approving the schematic designs. With your approval today, the team will move forward to complete the design and construction documents. And here's the anticipated schedule with a start of construction in 2022 and completion in 2024. And I'd like to take a quick moment to thank everyone that worked diligently on this project to present you with a great design and with the background information that was required. The OCII design team, our general counsel, Aaron Foxworthy, and the five point team, thank you. That concludes my presentation, and we are all available for questions. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, do we have any speakers?
Yes, we have one.
This item.
Oscar James.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to come up here and speak but this gives me great pleasure in speaking on this particular project. I support it 100%. If I could support it more than that, I would. This brings back history to me. My grandfather filled most of that in, land out there by Candlestick Park. Most of that was water from Gilman Park. We used to skid rocks out there. So I know the whole history of it. You know, I used to ride my bike out there, sometimes ride a stick horse with no head. But I'm glad to see this particular project coming into fruition. I'm glad that the African Marketplace is going to be located around there. It's just a pleasure. But I do have some problems with it, even though they have 21% low income housing. The next project, I wish it had more than that. But all in all, I support it 100%. And I just want to thank Five Points, Lennar, with them making sure the community benefit. You know, it's a lot of times people get up here and talk about the negative, but I see a lot of positive out there. You know, I wasn't, most of you weren't here. Morales was here when I used to fight Lennar because I didn't know what their intentions was, but they've proven themselves to me. And I'm a native resident, been there 73 years. And just to see this coming to be, a lot of people in my community who was born and raised out there would be welcome this wholeheartedly. Thank you very much. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. James. Is there anybody else wishing to speak on this item? Please come forward. If you can please state your name.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Dedria Smith. I'm also a member of the CAC. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for allowing us to have this presentation and that they did come out into the community where the community had the opportunity to speak and say whatever they wanted to say at that time. So again, we want to thank Five Points and Lennar for all their support and ask your support for this to go ahead and move forward. This is something we're excited about. This is something that's going to bring jobs to the community again, where they could transfer out of one job with, you know, building the Warrior Stadiums and the other ones that's in the community to go ahead and move forward into this job opportunity. So we're just asking from the community part for your support for this to go ahead and move forward to the next phase. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Hearing none, seeing none. No worries.
Bring him to rise from the chair. Hi, all of you. Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Veronica Honeycutt, chair of the CAC for the shipyard, and you know I'm always happy to see you. This is a beautiful design. It's well thought out. And I love the community benefits. You know, I love the fact that 50% of the contracts will be awarded to Bayview Hunters Point small business enterprises, and that 50% of the construction will be awarded to qualified Bayview Hunters Point residents. So that gets the community being involved in the building of this marvelous creation. I am delighted to see the AMI spread across both middle-income and low-income folks. That's extremely important, okay? I know people want to talk about, you know, everything should go to low-income folks, but we do have middle-income folks, and about five different groups of folks are being priced out of San Francisco. And some of them have a little bit more money than the rest, but, you know, we need to accommodate everyone, is my point. I particularly like the 0.5% of the sale of the building to the community benefits fund, which is called which we in the community know as the Legacy Fund. And as chair of the Legacy Fund, when we have more money, we can do more. We're getting ready through the work of OCII to put an RFP out for a scholarship administrator so that we can award $500,000 in scholarships over a five-year period to residents in the community. That's huge. It's educational opportunities for folks. Okay, so
We urge you to vote yes in terms of your commission actions and on the schematic design. Thank you so much for allowing us to make our presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Honeycutt. Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, okay, I will close public comment and we'll turn to my fellow commissioners for any questions or comments. Dr. Scott had one.
So just to, with all gratitude, to Five Point, Lenoir, and Bayview Hunters Point Shipyard, CAC, for all of your eyes and ears and hands moving with them along the way. I cannot thank you enough and appreciate you all so much for the care and concern and then how you've been so inclusive with the community. And I'm just so proud of you and proud to have been a part of you too, but very proud of how you're moving on. One of the questions I have in light of the structure, the Millennium Tower sinking, had you thought about anything like that to make sure there are preventative measures? I see you did the wind factor, and I'm so pleased. That was one of my questions. I, too, like Mr. James, grew up in that community in the 50s. And so I know that area very well and how the weather goes. So I see you looked at that. I didn't hear anything about the structure, thinking about, because it is landfill, the sinking of the building. Have you done measures for that?
Going down to bedrock.
Yeah, so I want to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I appreciate the question, given Brendan Dunning with HKS Architects. We're fortunate to have our structural engineer here. I'll recognize Nick over here and Hardeep. They've done numerous high-rise projects in this city and throughout the world. So in the next step of the process of design, we'll be evaluating the geotechnical information that comes back from that report. And from that report, we will be implementing a structural foundation that takes into account all those soils beneath the land. And all of that is submitted to our building department and will be subject to review. So that really is our next process. But there are certainly a lot of lessons learned from other projects that are inherently make the process better. And our building codes are built just exactly that, off those lessons learned. So our building department, Tom Huey and others, are very aware of what measures need to be taken, as do our structural engineers. So, yeah.
And then for the paint that's used on the inside and outside, have you considered the glossy paint for the inside of the walls as opposed to a matte? Because that's, I was looking at Alice Griffin, and before the people could move in, the walls have just, they look old, tarnished, and just from the janitors being there, setting things up, touching the walls, their clothing, and it was marred.
Mm-hmm. Are those interior walls, if I may ask, or exterior?
Interior walls, where the garage is, and it right. leads, like if they were moving in, garage leading upstairs into the levels.
Mm-hmm. A large part around our garage entry will be metal panel. That screen that we showed will be different, but we do take into account all those materials, their life cycles, the finishes. We tend to look at some finishes that are in between a matte and a glossy, what we call eggshell type of finish. So all those things are further refinements, but for sure, keeping something fresh and new, those are all things we take into account as we start to specify all the finishes in the next iteration of the design process.
Thank you so much. Sure. And the last thought, it may not even apply to this session, but had you thought about the street naming. I see the M Street and 9th Street, the numbers. Had you considered that, being that Bayview Hunters Point has been declared the Historic Arts and Cultural District, and it would be great to bring in history with the street names?
Yes, I believe the streets actually already have names. These are the street names that we've been using in our schematic designs, so I just tried to stay consistent, but I can get back to you on with updates on all the street names.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's it for me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Dr. Scott. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Rosales?
I was going to say, like, Joe. Oh.
I was going to say, like, Joe Montana and Dwight Clark Way or Drive.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
No, I was there for that. But I do have a few questions. Thank you all for the presentation. I was interested in the height variance. My assumption is that if we grant the variance, that this will set a new standard for height.
So this was something that we actually spent quite a bit of time on.
Okay.
And specifically, this variance would be for an increase for the tower screening specifically.
Okay.
Our design staff and general counsel are actually looking into updating the information in the D4D so that as we move forward in designing the towers, the D4D will kind of have the information that we need so that they can be designed like they need to be. So as an example, just the size of the tower, just it requires a certain size of mechanical that's going to be on top of the building. And project areas like Transbay have already kind of updated their standards to accommodate, so, you know, screening like this, and the D4D and Candlestick has not yet been updated. So that's probably something that's going to be coming before you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly something that we're considering so that we don't have to ask for a variance for each tower.
Mm. So I'm just trying to visually, because I'm better with names and rather than, or I'm a more visual person than a descriptive person. I'm trying to figure out, like, when you say this is the signature tower that people will see coming from the south. So folks coming in from San Jose or coming in from the airport, this will be front and center. This will be, as one would remember Candlestick Park, you know, this will be like the tower. And so my assumption is it's not going to stand alone by itself, but, right? I mean, I'm just trying to get a sense of the name.
Right, it won't stand alone. And this actually, I do not believe this is going to be the tallest tower in Candlestick.
Okay.
But as far as visually, this will be the one that can be seen from all angles.
Okay. So then I, just because I don't understand what a blank wall variance is, other than blank wall meaning what it obviously says, you know, that the wall is blank. But I'm trying to get a sense of what's the policy behind before we talk about the variance, like what is the policy objective of a blank wall? Why are there even limitations on that?
So the idea behind it is that at the ground floor where pedestrians are walking by the building, we want there to be activation
mm-hmm.
and for people to be able to interact with the building. So on one side, you have a lot of interaction on Ingerson where it's all retail. So it'll be shops or restaurants or whatever may be there so people can interact fully and see what's there and go in and out. On another side, on Harney, you have a BRT, which is the bus rapid transit, so you can't actually have any curb cuts or any stopping along the way. So that's a restriction there. And then on another side, we have a mid-block break, which means it's going to be more of a pedestrian experience with people walking along there. So the 20% maximum is, as I said, to make sure that as people are walking in the neighborhood, that they're interacting with the design, that they have a pleasant experience and they see something nice when they walk by.
Right.
So that's the idea behind it. And we don't want there to be a lot of blank walls,
yep.
you know, non-interactive space around the building at the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we put limits on it. In this case, however, You still need to have spaces for your utilities where PG&E can have access to certain things, and you need to meet their requirements. So with all the other restrictions on the other sides, that kind of put us in a position where we had to locate all those utilities on one side. So not all, but a lot of them.
Okay, so would it be appropriate to think about art, for instance? You know, so, you know, to kind of give a more kind of cohesive experience, if
yes.
you will, like aesthetic experience? You know,
absolutely.
If we're going to grant a variance, and I understand the reason now, thank you, for, you know, why we don't want just a lot of space just staring at people. You know, art, obviously. I saw something in the design here,
yes.
which I don't know that this is just illustrative, but, you know, the birds in flight, which is beautiful. You know, I think that gives it a calming, you know, calming impression, but there's a ton of, because we've got wonderful artists, right?
The design team actually put in quite a bit of work on thinking through that. And one of the things that they're planning is to do a mural.
Excellent.
So that's one of the art selections I'll be making. And then just working with the building articulation to make sure it's not just a blank wall,
yep.
but that you see something that's visually pleasing.
Yep.
So that's certainly something that they're thinking about.
Beautiful. Thank you. So on the BMR topic, these are for sale, right?
Yes.
Now, do we not, I mean, this is a question, because in my memory, we tend to have, I wouldn't say lack of interest, but lack of successful applicants that are COP holders in particular for BMR units, in my experience here as a commissioner. And I really do think we got to do more than the normal. I mean, we need to be thinking about, like, how do we get folks, and they don't have to be COP holders, obviously, right? Anyone who could qualify. We want to have candidates to the extent that folks are from the neighborhood. We would certainly want,
right.
I mean, I would certainly want folks to stay in the neighborhood, you know, and have opportunities. I'm assuming there's a lot of takers, but we really do need to have, I think, a robust, you know, thoughtful plan. Because what I hear from folks half the time when I'm talking about the commission's policies, a lot of it is just, well, we don't know, and how do we know, and where, you know, it just, to me, it's like crazy that people don't know.
Yeah.
After all these years, right?
Yeah. So, and that was one of the things that is a part of our conditions of approval, and the developer agreed to and committed to, was the early outreach with an emphasis on the certificate of preference holders. So it's not limited to COP holders, but there will be an emphasis to try to encourage them to and to bring them to see if they're interested. But with this early outreach, the developer will actually work with the OCII staff, who have become experts in this, and who you've heard from before, and will submit an early outreach plan 30 days after even construction begins. So that still leaves plenty of time, because the building won't even be completed or near completion when they actually start this process, to figure out how they're going to, you know, bring people in that are eligible for the below market rate units and COP holders.
And I appreciate that, but I think on this one we might want to even start earlier, is what I'm saying, than that, because, I mean, we have a survey, we have Dahlia, you know, I keep, you know, I'm going to beat up Maria Benjamin next time she shows up about that feature in Dahlia that connects opportunity with interested party. That's something that our technology should be able to do. I mean, the real estate folks have it. You know, we do it on the local business side. We should be able to match at least the COP holders to the upcoming opportunity, even if it's 2 years out, even if it's whatever it is. You know, I mean, we should be able to do that and know ahead of time. And then if people have issues, as many people do, about, you know, how do I get the down payment? Can I get, you know, down payment assistance? All that kind of stuff. The city has a lot of tools available to get people in. And the sooner and earlier we start, I think the better. I mean, we were talking offline, Commissioner Scott, if you recall, people kind of challenged with the Dahlia system to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have interested parties who are just used to the paper process, right? You know, and trying to get them
fluent, if you will, on the Dahlia system. So I definitely think we need to start earlier than okay. normal. And this might be a question that's too early to answer, but do we have a general contractor selected yet? Sorry. I'm a lawyer, so I think. No, not yet.
Hi, this is Steve Sutton with Five Point. No, we do not at this point. We have one we have worked with for the general schematic design, but as for the actual construction, that will go forward. We'll be selecting one in the upcoming years as we go forward. And then, of course, they will be part of the OCI policy with hiring towards subcontractors.
Great. And we like to encourage associations and joint ventures at the GC level. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Rosales. I just want to underscore what she brought up regarding the outreach with the certificate, especially with the certificate of preference holders. You know, mentioned before that a lot of the folks who lived in the Western Addition were removed not because of their credit score. They were removed because of where they lived and the color of their skin. And so I would hate for us to continue to put barriers for people that it wasn't their choice to leave. They had no choice, right? So when we're looking at outreach, you know, we have to start now. These are for purchasing, so meaning we have to get people's credit scores to a certain level. They have to begin saving money. And I would hope that we don't just provide lip service to people. And that we are really authentic and not hypocritical by having us support this and say we want certificate of preference holders when we don't make that extra step or make the extra effort to reach out to people who rightly should be back home in San Francisco, right? So, you know, it's more a question for us. It's more a question for OCII and for Maria Benjamin's shop. And frankly, I'm a little disappointed that, you know, as I'm talking here, I'm thinking we can't, you know, just provide lip service to people. And, you know, if people aren't, if we have a great building like this, and then as we get ready to open, we're told there weren't enough people, then something's wrong with that. Right, and I know it's not you. I'm just throwing this out there as an organization, as an agency here with a conscience. Then we have to do something different, radically different, because then, you know, we're being hypocritical, and I don't think any of us here want to be that. So I just want to underscore that. And then the last comment, or the second to last, is I really appreciate Five Point's effort with the 50%, you know, it could always be more. We'd appreciate that. I'm sure a lot of people would, but, you know, getting people to build their community from the community, you're going to get a lot more. You're going to get that extra special love from people who are from the community who will build their community. So, I mean, thank you for that. And then lastly, you know, I talked about the wow factor. I think the last time we had seen a building coming in to us in that area, and you know, this is phenomenal, and this is stunning, and I think you did an excellent job of working with the community. But to me, this is going to be an anchor building, and it's going to be one that not only is going to be a beautiful thing to see, but I think it's a statement to the community that finally things are beginning to move a little bit faster. That all those years, those decades of waiting for us to make it happen is happening. And so with that, you know, we're going to have a lovely building, beautiful building, and we want to fill this building with people who deserve to be there, right? And I don't know how we do this, whether we need to have another meeting with Maria, but we have to start like last year, basically, with this on buildings that people are going to have to purchase, because they're going to have to, we have to get them up for success rather than for failure. So, Dr. Scott, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, just throwing this out, Pam, again, I want to say how much, though we have barriers, but how much Dahlia is working. Dr. Honeycutt and I had an opportunity during Passion Weekend to make an announcement and give out cards, and the reception of that was so huge. The problem is having people to help navigate the individuals through that application process, and along the way, each step gets a little more difficult. And if you're by yourself doing it, you could almost give up. But it works if you can keep moving with it. But you definitely need help. You definitely need help. And I would even say I'd need someone to say, what are they actually asking for here? I had to ask that. I had to call. And so if I had to do it, those that have trouble, you know, with a little bit of literacy or just processing information like that, after giving those cards out, I've got tons of responses. And what they wanted was help. They were interested, they were ready, but they need help. So I was thinking, and I think I may have mentioned it the last time, the churches getting an incentive to them so they could get some persons that would help in the synagogues, the churches, the school system, help with filling that paperwork out, moving with them with that process. Something like that with our nonprofit organizations that are here. We have tons. And that would be a great help if they could offer something to get teams of persons aboard to help with that.
Pam Sims, Senior Development Specialist at OCI. Actually, Maria heard you, I think it was last meeting, when you mentioned the churches. And she has already started to do her outreach, her and her staff. So we're going to start implementing that piece. How we're going to roll it out, we don't really quite know yet, but we're starting the process. In the interim, and I hope everybody knows this, is that there are several housing counseling agencies and housing counselors, and they repeatedly come into the MOCD OCI offices to get trained for Dahlia and updates to the inclusionary manual and how to go through the application process and what is needed and the proof. Individuals who are working with housing counselors actually are instructed and helped and handheld to go through the process. And I really hope that individuals take advantage of the housing counselors and their expertise to get them through the process. And also, and I hope people understand this too, is that I'm always available. MOCD staff is available if anybody has any questions about the Dahlia system and going through and navigating the process.
Yeah, so they are available. I've sent tons of people to them, but they're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have the staff. And so often they're not able to answer the phone, or they make an appointment and the appointment is so far down the road that the individuals run out of time because they're given 2 weeks or 3 weeks to get to the next step, and then they move on to the next person. So I do understand we do have the help with San Francisco Housing and Development and many of the others, mm-hmm. but they're all overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're trying. We're just continuing to try.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So is there a motion?
Yeah.
I move. Sorry. I move the item.
So it's moved by Vice Chair Rosales.
Second.
And second by Dr. Scott. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 3 ayes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
Motion
you.
Carries. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is agenda item 5D, approving a budget for the period July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020, and authorizing the executive director to submit the budget and interim budget to the mayor's office and the Board of Supervisors. Discussion and action resolution number 11-2019. Madam Director.
Thank you. The item before you is an approval for the budget for 1920. On April 16th, the staff presented an informational workshop on the budget. Today, you'll be presented with the slight reduction in the budget by 0.1% and some comparison to the prior year's budget, and requesting approval for submittal to the mayor's office. With that, I'll turn it over to Mina to present.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners, Director Sose. My name is Mina Yu, financial reporting and management analyst with OCII. Again, I'm here to present on the budget approval action item. So just a reminder of the timeline. In April, we presented the commission, the workshop on the budget. We did a detailed look at all of our project areas on our affordable housing and our operations. Today, I'm presenting on the action item. I'll talk about some of the slight changes from our workshop and a comparison to our 18-19 budget. Subsequent to your approval, we'll submit the budget to the mayor's office and then to the Board of Supervisors by June 1st. So this is just a summary of the changes from the workshop. The changes are a net reduction of $0.4 million, or a 0.1% reduction. And these changes are really due to four changes, three of which are technical, which means that they are really just corrections or reclassifications, and one is an actual programmatic change. This programmatic change is a reduction in the Folsom Streetscape project costs in Transbay by $3.4 million. So at the workshop, DPW was still considering different bidders, and we wanted to just budget the highest bid to ensure that we had appropriate authority in 1920. It came back, it wasn't the highest bidder, and so this decrease in the total project cost doesn't actually have a dollar impact on the budget. What we really did was just reallocate the funds, and so our priority is to spend bond proceeds first, and then fees, and then property tax. So there's $3.4 million was initially funded by those bond proceeds, but because of that project cost reduction, we were able to reallocate those funds to our parks in Transbay. And that was previously paid by park fees, so that in effect dropped the park fees to our fund balance. So really it's no net effect on the budget, it's just a change in the color of the money. And the 0.4 decrease comes from one of our technical adjustments. We ran an updated cash balances report on our developer deposits in Transbay. We found that we were $0.4 million lower. So what this developer deposit really is they typically pay us a deposit at the initiation of a project, they bill us for their costs, and then we repay them from this. So we just wanted to sort of represent this updated cost in our budget. And the other two technical changes are just reclassifications of our property tax increment in Shipyard and Mission Bay from our prior period authority to fund balance. Meaning that we had incorrectly classified these as encumbered to projects in 1920, but we'll actually be sending this in subsequent years. So just cleaning up this oversight. So this table just shows those changes by uses. Again, you can see all of those four changes that I had discussed. Here's just a high-level summary of a comparison from the action to the workshop, so you can see that the changes are really immaterial. So this is a summary of our 1920 budget by our sources. You can see the primary source is our prior period authority, followed by fund balance, and then our property tax. And you can also see our two new bond issuances included here, which we discuss in detail at the workshop. Here is our budget by our uses. The majority of our spending is on our direct program spending, which encompasses our affordable housing, infrastructure and other non-housing, and community development and workforce. And that's 77.8% of our budget. The remaining 22.2 is for indirect programmatic spending, which just supports our direct program spending. So this is our 19-20 budget compared to our 18-19 budget, just for some context. You can see we have a decrease of $104.3 million from our 18-19 budget of $745. And this is really driven by two things. First, we have been paying down on our existing affordable housing loans. And the second driver of the reduction is a reduction in the bond issuances. And this is due to really delays in our affordable housing pipeline. This is a year-over-year comparison of our uses between 18-19 and 19-20. You see the same changes. It's due to the paying down of our existing loans and changes to affordable housing pipeline. So just a summary or highlights of our 19-20 budget. Again, the total budget is $640.7 million, which is a 14% decrease from the 18-19 budget. As we discussed in the workshop, our operational costs make up 2.9% or $18.7 million of the budget. We have 55 positions, which is unchanged from the current year. We will also be making $98.9 million in new affordable housing loans, which encompasses two gap loans and four pre-development loans. And we plan to issue two new bonds totaling $40.6 million. Again, so just where we are in the process, we had the workshop in April. We have the action item before you today. We'll be submitting this to the Mayor's Budget Office pending your approval, then to the Board of Supervisors, who will take action in July. And any questions and comments, we'd be happy to take.
Great, thank you. Madam Secretary, are there any speaker cards for this item?
No speaker cards.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment and turn to my fellow commissioners for any questions or comments.
I'm good.
All right. So there's none. I just want to thank the staff for being so diligent with the people's money and resources. I've always been very proud of OCII and back in the day redevelopment, because you know how to do it right. And that's why I think San Francisco was the model on how things got done right in the state. So I just want to thank you all for your hard work. May I have a motion? Is there a motion, Commissioner Stott?
Yes. I move that we approve the budget for the period of July 1, 2019 through June 30, 2020, and authorize the executive director to submit the budget and interim budget to the Mayor's Office and Board of Supervisors.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yes, I second.
Great. We have a first and second. Madam Secretary, can you please take roll?
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 3 ayes.
Great, motion carries. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 6, public comment on non-agenda items. And we have one speaker card for that.
Great.
Oscar James.
Oscar James again. This is a non-agenda item, but I want to speak about the homeless. I want to speak about the homeless crisis that's in our community. If you go down Oakdale or Plu, and you pass where the train goes across, right next to the college, you'll see a bunch of tents on that property where homeless people have made tents. You go down Thomas Street, other streets in our community, you see tents being put up in our community. It's not only happening here, it's happening in Oakland, over by the Kaiser in Oakland. But it's a need for homeless people to have some type of decent housing. You know, we're blessed to have homes and housing, some place to keep us warm, but there's so many people who we went to school with, who we know, mm-hmm. that don't have that opportunity. And we need to fight for them. We also have females coming home from jails, penitentiary, who have done their time and don't have any housing in San Francisco. They have to go to different other cities and counties and what have you to get housing, and they have families here in San Francisco. You know, it's a crisis that really need to come to, you know, it need to come up. I've talked to Shaman Walton, who's our supervisor in District 10. If you go on Griffin and Thomas Street, when I was a little boy, when they had the rodeo out there, the cows and what have you going to the slaughter, there's a big open space by Yosemite. And I mean, it's still open. It's at least 20 acres. They can have put housing. They could put shelters for people to put campers there temporarily now. You know, we need to do something to get those people some decent places to stay. I know they had a big thing down in Embarcadero when our mayor, London Breed, tried to get homeless housing, temporary homeless housing down there, and he griped or what have you. All communities should have open space for homeless peoples. But we in Bayview Hunters Point have it. We have property out there. I'm not saying get all over the city, but we need to make sure people who grew up in our area have preference. A lot of people in the Mission who's moved into our area, and a lot of those people who don't have housing, okay, in our area. I see some of them sleep. You know, Bayview Hunters Point has not always been black. We became black in 55, 54 when Eisenhower became president. And all those other people moved out, that, you know, other races, and they moved to Westlake and different places like that. But people who were not able to move, they're still stuck out there in Hunters Point. They're still stuck out there in the Mission. And the Mission had that same problem. You see people out there camping on the side of the road. You see them on Market Street with tents or sleeping bags. We really need to do something with that. You know, if this commission can only talk to the mayor and let them know what we have in Bayview Hunters Point and in other different areas, and I'm going to be riding around to find out decent housing for them.
Thank you.
You know, that's my retirement obligation.
Thank you.
To find something for people who are less fortunate than us, because it could be me. It could be all of us. You know, just thank you guys.
Thank you.
It's really important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. James. Anybody else wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none or hearing none, I will close public comment for this item. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 7, report of the chair. Mr. Chair?
There is no report.
The next order of business is item 8, report of the executive director. Item 8A, notice of intent to issue a request for proposals for parks and streetscapes, maintenance and property management services at Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 1, Hunters Point Shipyard Project Area. Discussion in item 8B, 626 Mission Bay Boulevard North in Mission Bay South Block 6 East. Marketing outcomes report, a 143-unit affordable multifamily rental development, including one manager's unit in Mission Bay South redevelopment project area. For discussion, Madam Director.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The first item, notice of intent to issue the RFP. We do have a presentation prepared if you're interested in seeing a PowerPoint, but the highlight is that we're requesting services for streetscape parks and streetscapes maintenance and property management services for four of our parks: Hilltop, Hill Points Park, Innis Court Park, Pocket Park 15, these names, Pocket Park 16, as well as streetscapes, a side office, and some open space. It's slightly complicated. We had issued an RFP back in 2017. We got two proposals, but we couldn't select any of them because one came late and one was incomplete. So this is the second time around, but we've modified it to have it more realistic in terms of the scope being what is completed versus adding on. And we've made some other administrative changes with feedback from the CAC. CAC also blessed the item. So this is, if you have no objections, we're intending to issue the RFP for this.
Great. Thank you. Are there any speaker items, speaker cards for this item?
No speaker cards.
Great.
And yes. The next one is on the marketing outcomes. Pam does it best. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have her come and just do quick recap of the outcomes.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Pam Sims, Senior Development Specialist at OCII. And just quickly, I'll just go through the highlights of the report. And as you saw, there were 113 units offered through the lottery. Altogether, there were 142 affordable units, which included 53 one-bedrooms, 46 two-bedrooms, and 43 three-bedroom units. So it's a very large development. The units that were offered through the lottery are affordable to households at 50% of TCAC. So they reached a little higher AMI level. 25 COP holders applied. 10 were successful, and I just want to note to you that this is the highest COP success rate we've had since Pacific Point or 350 Fridell, so y'all should be very proud of that. For whatever reason, and I think it's because Mission Bay is beautiful, COP holders are very drawn to Mission Bay, so I think 6 West we're going to have the same kind of showing, which is really exciting. We also had 16 displaced tenant housing preference households move in and 87 live-work households. The success stories I thought were very poignant and telling. One was from a COP holder, as you read. A mom and son, they were over income at the time. The son decided to live on his own. So the mom secured housing. She is living with MS. So she asked her son to move in with her as her caretaker. And they're making that work, which is just a really nice story. And the second one was from a DTHP household. The children, one of the sons had asthma, and the carpeting in their unit was causing him to have attacks on a regular basis. And she all of a sudden realized one day that it was 3 months since her son had an attack when they lived at 626, and that's because there is no carpeting at 626. So just kind of feel-good stories for you. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. So anybody wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, hearing none, I will close public comment. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Yes, I just had a question. I found it interesting that there was what I consider to be, if not an increase, a healthy representation of Latino households. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, the funding that goes out through MOCD on the CD side, community development side, their housing counseling grants that they give out, there is a targeted language component this time for the city's languages. So that's Mandarin and Spanish and Tagalog. And what we noticed, and this was the first one that we have seen that spike, is a large inclusion of Latino households. So that's good to see. And I think we're going to start seeing that in our subsequent marketing reports. So stay tuned.
So do we work with, because I saw in the budget that we work with, obviously I know there's community-based organizations. MEDA is one of them. We're not.
MEDA is not one of our outreach organizations.
Okay, but the Mayor's Office of Housing, I think. Okay.
They work with MEDA
okay.
quite often, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So because I do see that if we have kind of a synergies of resources, ours with Mayor's Office of Housing, with MEDA and other community-based organizations, then more information, people get better access, et cetera, and more people, more diverse populations come in.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes.
I'd like to even help answer that for Pam, that the coalition that I'm working with, we have a huge community of Latinos, mm-hmm. and we're bringing them into it and even making them a part of moving with us for outreach nice. With the Christian society and community. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we've got the Ethiopian community. We've got the Asian community. We've got our African-American and African community, as well as all the others that we're pulling in a coalition of clergy and across denomination and cultures. And we're meeting together and working together. So we'll be meeting with that coalition again. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, commissioners. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 9, commissioners' questions and matters. Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions or nothing? Okay. Please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 10, closed session. There are no closed session items. The next order of business is item 11, adjournment. Mr. Chair.
Fellow commissioners, I need a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
Great. We have a motion, and we are adjourned at 2:27 p.m. Thank you.